Hey everybody. Okay, number one question for the day. Have you voted yet? And if you're registered as a Democrat, how many times have you voted? Okay, we're done with that. You know, this is one of the most important days in American history to my mind. The left is, it's not even, they're not on the other side. They're actually attacking our country. They're controlled. A lot of the rhinos are in the same spot. We have to be out there. We have to overwhelm the polls. We have to win by so much that they can't steal it from Kerry Lake, that they can't steal it from some of our conservative candidates, Ron Johnson, et cetera, et cetera. We've got to vote, vote, vote. If you haven't voted, quit watching me. Go vote now. It's that important. If you've already voted, make sure you stick in. We're going to talk about the election. I've got kind of a different take on some things, and I'm eager to share it with you. So stick with me. I'll see you in a minute.
The Cali Key easily converts your AR rifle to bolt action, allowing you to keep the rifle you love in assault weapon jurisdictions. The Cali Key is a true fast drop-in solution. No permanent changes to your rifle. Import, transport, own, and have fun with your AR. Why the Cali Key? Because a bolt action is not an assault weapon. Stay future ready from gun bans with the Cali Key. The Cali Key also lets you quickly and easily build your ideal hunting rifle, lets you build a quiet suppressed rifle, and benefits your long-range precision shooting. Available now at CaliKey.com with free shipping.
SAT123.com, they have put together a really incredible package. Emergency backup communication systems, power systems. We've got sat phones, we've got solar panels, and also the big 400 watt solar panel behind us there. And why does this matter? Because of course, right now we are dealing with massive risk of blackouts, and the power grid is just failing, you know, intermittently, but it's going to get worse because we've also got energy shortages. Think about the lack of coal power, the diesel problems that are happening right now. If you're in the military or the National Guard or Border Patrol or law enforcement and you need to be able to function even when the power grid goes down, or maybe you're a first responder, rescue team, firefighter, paramedic, you name it, you need to know about this equipment. So SAT123.com, folks.
All right, everybody. So again, if you've not voted, as much as I want you watching me, this will be online. You can come back and you can watch it later. Go vote. We've gotta vote. And if you know anybody that hasn't voted, that's gonna vote for a sensible candidate, go tell them to vote. If they're gonna vote for idiots, then well, don't remind them. Hopefully they forget. I want to talk about the election today, but I want to talk about kind of a different thing. So I'm going to do something. There's a cardinal rule in broadcasting. Nobody likes it when you read to them on air. So I'm going to read to you guys something. This is from William Bradford. William Bradford was the governor of the Pilgrim Colony when they came over from Europe to America. Now, let me tell you a little bit. Actually, before I read this to you, I want to give a little more background. So when the Pilgrims came, you got to understand this. Pilgrims came to America. They were fleeing because they were persecuted. They weren't allowed to follow their faith the way that they wanted to, which is really an important thing. I think, you know, that we recognize that our entire nation, the reason that people came to our nation was seeking religious freedom. You know, the same religious freedom that's being persecuted today every time they call us Christian nationals, as though there's something wrong with that, which, again, I'm a proud Christian national, and if you don't like it, well, I got a place you can go. So these guys come seeking religious freedom, and they come over and they've got this idea that we're gonna be Christ-like. We're gonna share, and everybody's gonna be treated with love and respect. And they decide they're gonna try socialism. So, you know, the fields were all communal. People were gonna share equally in the crops, and, you know, we're all gonna do, you know, right by each other, and this sort of socialist nonsense. Let me read you this quote from William Bradford. "The failure of this experiment in communal service, which was tried for several years and by good and honest men, proves the emptiness of the theory of Plato and other ancients, applauded by some in later times, the taking away of private property and possession of it in community by a commonwealth would make a state happy and flourishing, as if they were wiser than God. For in this instance, community of property, so far as it went, was found to breed much confusion and discontent and retard the much employment, which would have been to the general benefit and comfort." Bradford said and saw that the socialist experiment failed. The Pilgrims got rid of it. They gave everybody a share of property and said, "You're on your own. You want to eat? Farm your property." Just that simple, right? That worked. There was a failure in their understanding of faith, I think, and that failure continues today, and it's one that's easy to exploit, right? Because it sounds to you, if you read Christ, if you read the Bible, you know, we're called to give and to treat others with fairness and respect and love, and, you know, to help people, right? Here's what we're not called to do. We're not called to ignore our own needs or to put our family at expense for someone that's not doing anything to take care of themselves, right? The confusion comes from people trying to suggest that fairness is equal outcome. Fairness is not equal outcome. Fairness is equal opportunity. If we have equal opportunity, we have fairness. If we have equal outcome, we can never have fairness, because you get to control how hard you work. You get to control what you do. Now, there's some things that we have no way to manage, right? So I'm 6'4". I'm a big guy, right? There's no way that we can make someone who is 5'6", you know, be able to play basketball against me. Actually, they might be able to. I'm terrible at basketball. But, you know, the point being that there are certain things that are out of the control of people. You know, you just have to live with life to an extent. You know, we tell our kids, listen, sometimes life's tough. You got to deal with it. That's true. But we can never control outcomes, right? So, for example, I am 6'4", and that 5'6" person may actually be able to beat me at basketball. How? Well, maybe they work real hard at it. I don't work hard at basketball. I don't like playing it. I like watching it, but I don't like playing it, right? So maybe you got a 5'6" guy who works real hard. It's much better, and they can beat me at basketball. I had a natural gift. They had a natural shortcoming, if you will, no pun intended. But, you know, in the end, they overcame their shortcoming with hard work. We have a certain amount of control over our own lives that's dictated and determined by the efforts that we put into things. This is the problem with socialism. Socialism takes control and decision and freedom from people and puts it in the hands of others. It's not human nature. It doesn't make sense, right? If you tell people you're in control of everything, inherently, you know, absolute power corrupts absolutely, right? So, you know, it's never a good thing to put power in the hands of people. And instead, it's better to you know, stand on your own two feet. Now, here's where the teachings of Christ come in. Now, if the Pilgrims had realized and really kind of looked at this, what they would have saw was that Christ fed the poor. He helped people, but he chose to do it. No one forced him to do that. It was always his decision. He encouraged people to help each other. He didn't encourage us to enslave ourselves to a society. He encouraged us to choose to help each other, to do right, do unto others, treat others like you want to be treated. He didn't, there's no servitude in that. It was always our choice. And the reason that that makes more sense is that if you take that choice away, then there's no incentive, right? There's no motivation. If I can just count on you working your tail off and I get to eat as much as you did, why would I work? It doesn't even make sense. I mean, I can tell you, I like working. I work my tail off all the time. I work as much as anybody on the planet. And, you know, if I wasn't able to get anything out of it, why would I do that? I'll just sit and play video games and watch TV and eat and, you know, have as good a life as the person who is working hard, right? There's no incentive there. You've got to have people motivated. You've got to give them incentive. This election is very much, I think there's a lot of parallels there, right? We've had a lot of people who've not learned history, not thought things through. They don't understand things. They don't realize that, you know, if you don't incentivize people, they don't do anything. So what's happened there is now we've got people who are being convinced that they should vote for nonsense that's based on equal outcome. A lot of our young people are told this, right? Oh, it's not fair. Look at the outcomes. Look at the percentage of people who are this or who are that struggle with this or struggle with that. No one's telling our young people, well, are these people doing their job? Are they doing what they need to? Are they working as hard as they can? What kind of ethics are we seeing in these groups that are supposedly disadvantaged? Is it disadvantaged because of outward appearance? I hope not. Now, I can't argue that there are different isms and different things like that, and there are, and they do contribute to problems. But at the same time, we got to look at what we've done culturally. You know, the groups that work hard, I think one of the interesting, if we look at this, if we would do like the Democrats and we break this down by race, I think it's interesting. The Asians, as a people in this country, were historically very discriminated against. But we now see that many Asian families are being denied affirmative action treatment in college because culturally, or as a group of people, you know, based on the color, they're very successful. Well, isn't that racist? Isn't that bigoted? First, isn't it bigoted that we're looking at the color of skin in any way, shape, or form? It is, but the point here is not that. The point here is that how is it that a group of people who were so discriminated against have somehow found a way to become so successful that we're now, you know, denying them affirmative action benefits in some colleges? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't, if you believe the narrative. The narrative being that this is about race, and that's against what Martin Luther King taught: content of character, not color of skin. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what demographic you belong to. You have an opportunity in this country. The law requires that you have an equal opportunity. Okay? Equal opportunity means if you work as hard as I do, and all things are equal, and maybe you're not, right? Maybe you're short, maybe I'm tall. Maybe my IQ is higher than yours. Maybe, you know, whatever. But, you know, things equal, you have equal opportunity, and that's that. Now, we can never make everybody the same. We don't want it. There's great value in diversity. I love diversity. Diversity of experience, diversity of, you know, viewpoint of diversity is a good thing, right? But what we see here is we're trying to put our thumb on the scale in a way where we say, well, because of things that we can't control, we need to put our thumb on the scale and push for equal outcomes or more equal outcomes. All that does is disincentivize people. What we need to do is put our thumb on the scale and say we want to provide better opportunities. Better opportunities don't come from affirmative action. Better opportunities come from equal treatment under the law combined with teaching people to go after it, right? We provide equal treatment under the law because fairness and justice demands it, and then we allow people to fight and go after it. This is what this election is about, right? This is about, do we want to focus on equal opportunity or do we want to focus on equal outcomes? Equal outcomes equals communism, equals socialism. And the big lie is there's never an equal outcome in socialism or communism. It's always the haves and the have-nots. This election is also about freedom. You know, this country was founded and based on freedom. Like I said, the pilgrims came over religious freedom. What do you see right now? Religion's under attack, particularly Christianity. Even Islam's under attack right now. I don't know if any of you guys have followed what's going on in Dearborn, but the Islamic community up there is mad about the porn that they're trying to push in schools and this transgender nonsense. They're mad because it's against their faith. Well, it's against the Christian faith and pretty much any other faith out there. So we're kind of all on the same side there, right? And that's great. We should be, because those freedoms were fundamental to our country. And I'm glad that our Islamic brothers and sisters are recognizing now that freedom is the foundational issue across the board. I mean, you can self-limit because you believe in your faith that you should or shouldn't do this, and that's fine. But we cannot have ideals, that are counter to faith as a required part of our learning or a required part of our upbringing of our children. I mean, this is nonsense. So this election is everything. I mean, on a more practical, a lot of this is very philosophical, but in a practical sense, you know, this election is also about some really kind of just easy to grab things. Our economy is destroyed. Our economy is absolutely crushed. We've got to get our economy fixed. Biden is intentionally tanking this. It's got to be intentional. His administration can't be this bad by accident. This is absolutely intentional. Why? You know, I don't know. Sold out to China, sold out to the WEF. I don't know. But it's definitely intentional. They've got to tank our economy so they can push this digital currency, right? You've got to destroy the dollar before you can have a digital currency. Now, don't be surprised. By the way, for those of you following this digital currency stuff, don't be surprised if you find out that they try and suggest that this is a gold-backed digital currency. I'm getting a little chatter about that, right? You see China and some of these nations buying up an immense amount of precious metal. Well, if you call a digital currency gold-backed, it's still a digital currency, and it's still not gold-backed. See, the thing about a digital currency is it's meaningless because someone can turn it on or off at will. So whether you call it gold-backed or call it this or call it that, it never is. It's only a keystroke away from being deleted or controlled or moved. So you've got to understand that that's not the thing. And I want to alert my brothers and sisters here on the conservative side of things. Calling a digital currency gold-backed does not make it good. So just be careful here. Our economy, our food supply, right? Why has Biden done so much to destroy our food supply? Don't tell me we have substantial evidence suggesting that all of these attacks on all these food processing places and all of these attacks on all these different things, this was something that our federal government was aware of and apparently just letting go. I mean, we have evidence on this, and I can't talk about it publicly, but, you know, we are keeping a very close eye on the food supply stuff. And by the way, you think food's expensive now? Wait till next year. It's not getting better. Energy? I mean, at this point, if you don't know that the day after the election, gas is going to start flying up, wake up. I don't know what to tell you. You know, Biden told us, no, there'll be no more drilling. What? What? Why? Why? Climate change? Hey, Al Gore told us that New York would be underwater by 2015. Doesn't look like it's underwater to me. These guys are liars and crooks. Al Gore has also made bazillions of dollars off of the climate change lie. So, of course, he's going to promote it. But much like everybody else that's promoting it, they're making something off of it. You know, so this energy, this war on energy, you know, damaging the petrodollar and stuff like that, well, that's all, that goes back to destroying American currency as well, and American economic strength and power. Are you voting yet? I hope you're voting. If you haven't voted yet, please do it. By the way, when you vote, I understand. There were a number of candidates that I could not vote for that were Republican. And I live in Ohio, and I ethically could not vote for certain Republican candidates. So I left those blank on my ballot. I won't ethically support someone who I feel is unethical. And I want to encourage you that just because you've got some people that make you sick, don't let that prevent you from voting. Get out there. You can leave it blank in their case. You know, if you don't like someone, you feel like they're just, you can't vote for them, leave it blank. You don't have to vote every issue or every candidate. I didn't. So, but get out there and vote for the things that you can. You know, I like J.D. Vance here in Ohio. Hope people are supporting him. He's certainly better than Ryan. There's a few people I really like in Ohio that as candidates. A lot of people I like in some other states. I mean, I hope Kerry Lake wins by a landslide. A bunch of different people out there. Ron Johnson, we got to have Ron John win big. There's a lot of people. So that's all that. But going back to the some of these attacks, censorship. I mean, really? We got to get some people in Congress who will do something about the censorship. There is never an acceptable time or place for censorship. This is something, you know, Twitter is supposed to be open and not shadow banning anymore. I got news for you. I am shadow banned. You know, I still can't advertise on Twitter, and I'm still shadow banned. Now, I hope everybody tells Elon about that, and I hope Elon eventually does something about it. Because I would love to push. Now, Truth Social is my favorite, by the way, and I'm going to stay very active on that. But the nice thing about Twitter would be that I could reach some people in the middle who aren't part of my audience, who don't normally hear what I talk about. So there's value in that, right? Because you can't, I can talk about Christ to a Christian, but I'm not going to convert anybody by doing that, right? So that's that. But we got to get the censorship issue. This election is very much about censorship. Now let's talk about the DOJ. What's this election about? Well, the DOJ. How much corruption can there be? They're targeting American citizens. You know, they're investigating things that they don't need to investigate. They're doing all sorts of corrupt stuff. The DOJ is not acceptable. Their behavior is unacceptable. Everything they're doing is unacceptable. You know, we've got to have someone stand up against this. This entire administration is corrupt, but the DOJ, unbelievable. We need investigations into the DOD and the intel community. We presented evidence. We believe that they're actively involved in the creation of SARS-CoV-2. Where's the investigation? Anthony Fauci belongs in jail. Where's he at? You think the Democrats are going to do that? Now, I don't know if the Republicans are going to do any of this, but I know there's a heck of a lot better chance than the Democrats. And at least they can't pass another Green New Deal bill if the Republicans are in charge. I mean, at least we've got that. You know, unfortunately, we still got our Mitt Romney type people around that, and Mitch McConnell type people that desperately need thrown out of office. But, you know, we'll take what we can get at this point. Maybe we can throw them out of the leadership if we get enough wins. The point is that today is a day where people have a very clear answer to the question I receive most often, which is, what can I do? You know, what can I do? This is too big for me. What can I do? I can't fight back. Well, you can today. Go vote, right? And I know, yeah, there's going to be some cheating. I'm sure there will. And it's not okay, and we've got to keep fighting that. But for today, vote. Then keep watching those polls. Until every poll is done and every race is counted, there needs to be people photographing, watching, observing there every minute of the day. Someone brings in 10,000 ballots, you take pictures, you take evidence. You go to vote and you can't because they say they're out of ballots. You take photos, you take video. They say that you already voted, you take photos, you take video. And then everybody needs to post it everywhere. No disenfranchised voters on our side. You know, they always like to tell us that we're disenfranchising the other side because we make them do things like using an ID, God forbid. No, I want no disenfranchised voters on our side. I want our people video it, record it, and bring evidence. Remember, documentation beats conversation. You telling me that you got cheated doesn't matter. I need to show it. And if you want anyone to go to court on this, they've got to have evidence. So that's up to us. Please go vote. I'll see you next week, hopefully with the new Congress.